Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
And tonight I want to introduce to you what I want to speak to you about. And it starts in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. So if you have your Bibles, go open to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture tonight. And then I'm going to unfold this passage of Scripture with some thoughts for you to write down, as well as some things that I want you to get inside of you, so that when you walk out of here, you're having that encounter with God and you're feeling changed. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it's a very popular verse, and it says it like this, and I'll be reading out a New Living Translation. It says, don't copy, someone say copy, the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform, say transform, you into a new person by changing the way you what? Think. See, we can't be changed unless we change the way that we think. See, the way we thought last week, right now we should be changing the way we're going to think tomorrow. But see, a lot of times in our life, we can't change the way we think because we're stuck in a stronghold and we're stuck in this area where it stops us from changing the way we think. In other words, this, it gets a hold of your mind and keeps your mind bound to the things that you're used to. It keeps your mind bound to the things that you want to do. Come on. It keeps your mind bound to the things that have affected you in a way that was a good way, but that's not always a good way. And so what happens is this. We talk about how the Bible says change the way you think, but yet we still live the way we think, the way we want it to be. Can I be honest with you tonight? In order for us to be children of God, in order for us to be obedient to God, we got to do what His Word says. And it says what? Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but be transformed by what? Your mind. Did you know that your mind is a big area in your life that will affect other areas in your life? Did you know a lot of times your mind will drive you places that you don't want to go? Did you know a lot of times your mind will take you to areas in your life that are where you don't want to revisit? Did you know the Word of God says that? So as a man thinks, so as he becomes. So if we don't change the way we think about our thoughts, and we don't change the way we think about what we think about, we become these things. And so tonight, we're going to unpack this Scripture. And tonight, we're going to really get into it because it says so much. But don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you what? Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and what? Perfect. So Apostle Paul really conveys a lot of things in his Scripture. Even in just these one verse in Romans 12, 2, he's saying a few things like this. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. Well, how many of us in our life, can I be honest tonight, have conformed to the patterns of this world? How many of us have conformed to the trends of this world? Come on. How many of us have been around and we've conformed to the way of things in the world? When God says, and Apostle Paul writes to us, don't conform to the things of the world. But yet we've stepped out and we've conformed to the things in the world. Then it says this, be transformed by the renewing your mind, which is a powerful statement. And then it says, test and prove God's what? Will. And then I love this. God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. Although the Scripture unpacks a lot of information for us, a lot of directions, a lot of instructions for us, the one thing that I want to really target tonight and land on tonight is this. Transformation and renewal of the mind. I see, we live in a battle constantly. I mean, some of us woke up this morning battling whether we were going to go to church or whether we weren't going to go to church. Come on. Some of us battled this afternoon. Are we going to go to church tonight or are we not going to go to church tonight? Some of us battle, is my marriage going to work or is my marriage not going to work? Some of us battle, are my kids going to go wayward and not ever come back, or are they going to come back to the Lord? We battle these things. Shoot, some of us battle. Can I be honest with you? I don't have any money. What am I going to spend it on? How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to take care of this thing? How am I going to put kids in my clothes? How am I going to do this? We battle with these things constantly. Oh, it gets better than that. Some of us battle with some of this stuff. You're not good enough for nothing. Nobody in your family ever graduated high school, so why do you think you could graduate high school? Nobody's doing anything in your family. They're not going to college. No one's done anything. So what makes you think that you can do it? So we battle with these things in our mind. Listen, church, there's a war going on. And it's not just a war that's outside. It's a war inside, and it's called the war in your mind. And tonight, what we need to do is this. Tonight, we need to transform the way that we think. We need to get out of the battles that we're in. And we need to ask God to flip the script in our life. Tonight, I've titled my message, Flip the Script. I remember years ago, I was watching a movie. Do I got any movie likers out there? Anybody like movies? Raise your hand. A lot of us like to watch movies. And I remember watching this movie, and I'm not going to say the name of the movie, because if you haven't seen it, I don't want to be a movie spoiler alert and be like, man, that pastor said this. I was watching this movie, and this movie had a paragraph and a script of just negative stuff. It was about this guy who had lost his wife, he had lost his kids, except his one daughter. And in this movie, he was lost his job. He was broke. He had nothing around him. He got evicted from where he lived. And so he had nothing. And so he came into a place in his life where he realized, I don't have anything. He was homeless. He was starving. But he had this one daughter that he had to take care of. But see, something happened in the narrative of this story. I'm watching this movie and I'm like, man, I hope there's some kind of hope for this guy, because this is bad. This doesn't look really good. And later on, towards the end of the movie, something big happened. He applied for a job that everybody said, you will never get this job, bro. You are too dumb. You are too stupid. Like, this will not work. You just don't have what it takes. Yet he applied for the job and he interviewed for the job. He went into this thing saying, you know what, I got to get it. I got to change how I'm thinking. I got to get off the street. I got to take care of my daughter. Like, I can't be in this rut anymore. And so what happened is this, the movie script completely changed. And what happens is this, the guy lands the job that everybody said, you will never get. Do you want to know how he landed the job? He changed the way he thought. He changed the way he thought about things, what people said. I don't know about you, but maybe somebody has said to you, you will never be anything, or you'll never grant to anything, or you'll never own a house, or you'll never get to a place that you want to be, or you'll never be that person that you think you should be because of something somebody said. It stopped you from getting there because you allowed that seed and that thought to get into your mind and disrupt what the truth of what God says. And so what happens is this guy lands a job, he moves forward in life, and what felt like the end of the story really was just the beginning of a new one. God is in the business of rewriting our stories. I love what Joyce Meyer says. She says it like this, when God writes your story, it's never too late for a new beginning. Maybe you've been living in this type of movie script. Maybe your story, maybe your life has been written by fear, by failure, maybe even by shame. And the enemy's been whispering in your ear time after time, you'll never change. This is just who you are. Now, I know I'm not the only person that's ever heard that before. I know there's got to be some believers in here that could be honest and real with me tonight and transparent and say, you've heard the enemy say something to you like that before. This is just who you are. You'll never change. Look at your family. Look where you come from. Look where you used to live. You'll never change. Listen, church, I'm here to tell you, you could change if you put it into God and you let Jesus do it for you. But not only that, you decide to change your thoughts. God is not just the editor of your life. Write this down if you're taking notes. God is not just the editor of your life. He is the author. And when Jesus enters the story, everything shifts. Some things shift, no. Everything shifts. How many of you tonight can say you need some shifting done in your life? Come on, if that's you tonight, wave at me. Well, that... God be the author of your life. Don't let him just be the editor. Allow him to take control of your life. Surrender your life to him. See, what was once a mess became a message. What was meant for harm became hope. And so tonight I want to line you up and unpack three things about this scripture. Three things that I believe God wants to speak to you tonight. Three things that I believe if you get a hold of these three things, it'll change your life forever. You'll be thankful that you beat your mind and said, I'm going to go to church tonight. First one is this tonight. Identify the old script. You need to identify the old script that's in your life. Christians, too long we've been living in the old ways and the old things that have been bothering us and hindering us in our life. Too long we've been living in a place in our life where God is telling us always to move forward, move forward, move forward. You hear the messages from Pastor Dan. You hear the messages from other pastors. Go forward, go forward, and go forward. But here's the thing. We've been holding on to that old script that's keeping us held back from going forward in the things of God. Here's why. Because you've allowed your mind to go there. Where the mind goes, the man will follow. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak, the word of God says. So I'm going to challenge you guys with some things tonight, and that's going to be this. Get a hold of your thought life. Get a hold of what you think about yourself. Get a hold of what you think about who? Others. Get a hold of what you think about your future. See, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, verse 23, Paul is encouraging believers something in here. He's encouraging us believers to leave everything behind this old sinful stuff and move into a way of new life. Matter of fact, it says it like this. If you have your Bibles, go there with me. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupt by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and what? Attitude. Let's take a self-evaluation real quick. I'm going to challenge every one of you to do this. While you're sitting in this room tonight, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about something right now. I want you to think about what lies have you believed in your life. I'm going to give you a moment to think about it, and I want you to write it down real quick. Just write it down. Pastor, where are you going with this? I'm going somewhere with this. I want you to see this. Could it be shame? You're not enough. Could it be failure? You've messed up too much. Could it be fear? You'll never change. Could it be insecurities? I'll never measure up to what I'm supposed to measure up to. Right now, I want every one of you in this room to think about this for a moment. Just take a moment and think and ask yourself, what lies have I believed? Or what lie am I believing even right now? Come on, somebody. What lie did I believe tonight when I walked in the church? What lie did I believe when I woke up this morning? What lie am I believing in this moment right now? I remember several years ago when I was a youth leader. As a young youth leader, I got invited to minister at Colton High School. Donnie Colton High School graduates or Colton High School students in here tonight? All right, a bunch of y'all. Okay, I got the opportunity to go minister at Colton High School. And I was a young minister, and I thought, yes, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait to do this. God's going to use me in a powerful way. And man, he's going to show up, and he's going to get all the glory. And man, it's going to be great. Well, I got to Colton High School, and I realized, first of all, there was a lot of students in the auditorium. And I thought, oh, I never spoke in front of all these people before. What is going to happen here? Especially all these teenagers that aren't the Christian church kids, they're the worldly kids. You get what I'm saying? But God used me. I preached the word of God. I talked about Saul and how he became Paul and how there was such a transformation and how God can transform your life and do all these powerful things and do these great things. And at the very end of the service, God says, do an altar call. And I thought, God, this is crazy. I don't know if I could do this. And I remember something Pastor Jim had said, the founder of this church, many, many years ago. He said he will always do an altar call after every time he preaches. And that stuck with me. And I said, okay, God, you're right. I'm going to do this altar call. And I did this altar call, and 100 kids give their life to Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. 100 kids said, yeah, they want to give their heart and life to Jesus. When I got done ministering, you would have thought this young leader would have been like, wow, 100 people, this is crazy. Like, I know I did a great job. Praise God. I didn't. When I got done bringing the kids up front, saying their prayer with them, I dismissed myself like I was supposed to. I walked right off, I'll never forget this, I walked right off the corner of the stage. I walked towards the back. As I was leaving, a guy walks up to me and goes, hey, we're some people that just want to, you know, use the video and film you and do some testimony stuff on what's going on with these kids. And I felt something in my heart say, don't do this. And one of the leaders, one of the persons that was with me at the time was a pastor, and I looked at him, he said, you don't got to do it. Like, don't do this. And I felt that. And I said to the guy, I said, you know what, man, I'm glad God showed up. I'm glad he did what he did. I'm done, and we're leaving. He stopped me and said, you preach from the devil. And he started cursing me, saying, you don't know your Bible, you don't know the word, and you're straight from the enemy, and you're straight from the devil. Now, I'm going to tell you what my flesh wanted to do. My flesh wanted to knock him out, beat him up, and not even pray for him later, just leave him there. The old street wanted to come out, but I was like, I can't do this. I'm representing the Rock Youth and Ministry. That's not going to work. And I left there, but here's what I want to say, and I want you to hear me, and I want you to get this. I allowed that one incident to form into a huge lie that the enemy told me, you don't know enough. And because of that one lie, I'm going to be honest with you. Because of that one line that said, you don't know enough, it stopped me from preaching for 8 months. It stopped me from being used by God because I was afraid and fear of not knowing enough. And even to this day, that is something that I have fought with and I have battled with, but I know the victory comes from Christ and he gives our mind strength, and I've had to change the way I think about these things. That lie almost took me out from doing the will of God for my life. Yeah. Hold up, get this. If the enemy could use that lie to take me out from doing the will of God in my life, which I didn't allow because I'm preaching the gospel, I'm pastoring people, and I walked into the calling and the anointing that God called for me, how many of us have been lied to and we haven't done what God asked us to do because we allowed that thought? Maybe God has challenged you to do something in your life, even at this moment, but something happened many years ago, and you remember what happened, like in my situation, and because it happened there, you think it's going to happen again, so you don't step out and do what God says because you believe the lie. Yeah, come on. Think about it. The enemy wants to destroy your life. And if he can plant one little lie in your mind, he can destroy your life if you believe the lie and you live on that lie. Many of us are called to do many different things. Some people in this room tonight are called to even step into ministry, and you haven't because you believe the lie that the enemy has told you. You're not good enough. You'll never change, so what makes you think you could be a minister of God's word? Can I be honest with you? Get rid of that lie. Replace that lie with God's truth. Get rid of the lie that the enemy is planting in your mind. Listen, we won't do what God has asked us to do, even as a church. Oh, wait, some of us are going to be doing discipleship, but you won't finish because you believe the lie from the enemy. Right. This book's too big. This book's not going to do nothing for me. Yeah, it is. It's going to change your life. And not only is it going to change your life, it's going to teach you how to be a disciple and how to disciple other people as well. But if we buy into the lie, we miss it. What lie have we bought into tonight? What lie have we really bought into tonight? Maybe you felt like what I was talking about earlier, you'll never measure up. Maybe you felt like you've messed up so much you can't change. Come on. Or maybe you've even bought into a lie of insecurity. What repetitive thought has been running your life tonight? Write this down. What repetitive thought has been running your life tonight? In other words, what are you believing over and over and over, and you believe it so much that it's running your life right now, right where you're at? I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about a shift in their job and, you know, looking for a promotion and trying to get a new promotion. And the words that came out of this young man's mouth was this. He goes, a lot of people are telling me I won't get it because I don't know enough. And I said, well, are you going to repeat and live your life everything that they're saying? Are you going to live that repetitive lie that they're saying that you're not going to get it, you're not enough, you're not going to get the job, you're not going to get the promotion? Here's why. Maybe they're jealous of you getting it because they want it. But what happens is this, we buy into the lie, then here's what happens, we won't even try. Maybe God has put it on your heart as things are coming up in your life. Maybe the birthday miracle offering is coming up, and God is putting an amount on your heart, and you're sitting to yourself, and I'm not taking an offering right now, so please don't go there and think that. I want you to understand something. Maybe God is speaking to you about, man, I got to do this number, and you're saying, God, I don't think I could ever do that number. Well, you won't if you tell God you can't. But you will if you tell God, you know what, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know what I'm going to do, but God, I trust you enough, and I'm going to put this amount down and watch you do it for me. And what you just did, get this, what you just did is you didn't buy into the lie anymore. You kicked the devil right between his eyes and said, devil, you're an idiot, you're stupid, you're a liar, and I'm not going there. Which leads me to my next point. To flip the script, we must expose the author of lies. Expose the author of the lie. In other words, who gave you the story for your life? What lie are you believing that was spoken over you that you shouldn't believe? Where is this coming from? Where is this created at? Where did this belong? Why is it affecting me? Because you've bought into it. You need to expose the enemy as a liar that he is. The word of God says it like this in chapter 8, verse 44. It says it like this. He was a murderer from the beginning. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the what? Father of what? All lies. Are you going to allow a liar to write your script for your life? Are you going to allow a liar to direct your path for your life? But we do. We do. Can I be honest? We do. Here's how. We believe the lie in our mind. We believe what others have said. We believe what we've told ourselves. We may even believe what a teacher has mentioned before. We may believe even what a leader that wrongfully said something had mentioned before. We buy into these lies. Oh, no, 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 Pastor, I don't want the enemy, I don't want the devil to write, he's the father of all lies, I don't want him to be the author of my life, but yet we allow him because we believe the lie. In Genesis chapter 3, in the very beginning of the Word of God, there's a story of Adam and Eve, and I think we're all familiar with it, so I don't have to get into the whole story, but we understand in this story, in the word, that the serpent comes and he tells them you can do of anything, but you know, you just can't do this and can't do that and this and that, and you know, and he begins to unfold all these things, and he begins to say something to them. See, he doesn't say, I'm going to harm your body, and he doesn't say that the first battle is going to be in someone's body. It's not going to be with weapons or anything. Here's where the first battle was. In Genesis chapter 3, I want you to realize something, and it's not going to be able to, on the overhead, it might be, but Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says this, did God really say? In other words, this, the spiritual battle wasn't with weapons, it was in the mind. See, that one question from the serpent that attacked Eve's thinking, and not her body, but it attacked the way she thought was, did God really say? That one question shifted her focus from truth to doubt in a matter of seconds. And from trust to what? Suspicion. See, I began to wonder and I began to think, you know, she didn't lose. Listen, they didn't lose when they bit into the fruit. She lost when she believed the lie. We lose when we believe the lie. When we believe the lie, we begin to lose. You know what's funny about this is, when you think about it today, and I think it's funny because this kind of shows you how easy it is to expose the enemy, if you want me to be honest with you. He uses the same tactics today. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. Listen, guys, here's what I mean. Here's what he says. Did God really say that he loves you? Did God really say that you could be free? Did God really say that you could even be forgiven? Oh, I mean, did God really say that you could really be healed? He uses the same thing that he used all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. He attacks our mind. And so here's the thing. If we know that the attack is coming, we know what he's using against us, we need to be more creative and be in our word more so we know how to combat the fight. We need to know that if he's going to come at us this way, then I'm going to come at him this way. You want to know how you do that? You stay in prayer. Come on. When you find yourself in prayer, this is why I love prayer warriors. Do I got any prayer warriors in this room tonight? Any intercessors? Man, I love having friends that are intercessors because they will call you at the weirdest times at night and be like, man, God spoke this to me and I got to share this with you. And what they say is very valid. It's very true. It's like, man, this is real stuff. But here's what I'm trying to say. The closer you are with God, the more prepared you're going to be to fight. In other words, the more you know about your word and your Bible, the more you're going to know how to stand on your word and defeat the devil when he tries to come after you. And if the word of God says that he is the father of lies, we need to understand something. He really is the father of lies. And if he says something to you and it doesn't check in your heart and doesn't line up with the word, guess what? You need to expose it and replace it with God's truth. Church, you win by replacing lies with the truth. Jesus did it himself. If you look at in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, here's what happens. In the Gospels, Jesus comes out of a place of 40-day fast and comes into a place, and the enemy, the first thing he does is what? He attacks him. With what? Words. He challenges him with what? His mind in words. But how does Jesus come back? What does Jesus say every time the enemy tempts him? He comes back and says what? It is what? It is what? Come on, one more time. It is what? Written. In other words, this devil, you can say what you want, you can believe what you want, and you can lie however you want, but it's the truth that is written by God. It is written, and you need to hear what I'm saying. So next time he tries to come after you, say, it is written in God's word. Next time fear tries to creep up in your life, say, it is written in God's word. For God has not given me a spirit of fear. Next time he tries to come at you and say, you're never going to be healed, your body's going to be the way it is, and that's just how life is going to be, you can say, oh no, that's what you think. Come on. But my word says, by his stripes, we are what? Healed. And next time he comes at you and says, you know what? You've always been an addict. You've always been stuck in these things in your life. You've always been this way. You're never going to change. You can say, oh, no, 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 no. You know what? I'm free in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Come on. But you got to say it. And if you have to say something, you have to believe it. And if your mind tells you otherwise, you won't believe what you're going to say. Church, I believe a lot of times we haven't even seen the miracles that we need to see because we don't believe that they can happen. Come on. I believe some of us have issues in our body, even tonight, right now, pain in your body, and your pain is still there because you haven't believed that God can heal your body. I believe some of us, even in this room tonight, have been stuck in a mental stronghold, and we can't even break it because we don't know how to break it, but not only know how to break it, we don't even know how we even got to it, but yet God's trying to show us how to get there, but you still don't believe that he can. Leads me to this next one tonight is this. Confront the lies with God's truth. Let me just say it like this. God's truth replaces every lie. The word of God in your life is the new script that God wants to give to you. You may have come in here broken. You may have come in here hurt. You may have come in here in shame. You may have come in here in guilt. You may have come in here with unforgiveness. You may come in here bitter. You may come in here with jealousy. You may come in here with every issue you can think of. And I'm here to tell you something. Tonight, God wants to rewrite your story with his real script, and that's the word of God and what he says about who you are. So how do you confront God? How do you confront with truth? Here's how. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 5 is a very powerful verse. It says it like this. We destroy every proud obstacle. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to what? Obey Christ. Several years ago, my wife and I were on a trip, and we were up north, and we were visiting family, but also watching one of my sons graduate from a leadership college that he was at and attending up there. And it was on a Wednesday around noontime, and I'll never forget this day, but we were at the airport, and we're, you know, going through, how many of you love airports, right? Nobody, like, no. We're at the airport, and we're going through the bag, going through the TSA security, and going through all these things, and they've upped their security, and all these different things have happened, so she walks through, I walk through, like, you go through the scanners, beep, 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 nothing, she walks through, nothing. All of a sudden, I put my bag on the thing, and I thought, okay, I got my iPad in there, and I was working on my message for Wednesday night, so when I get off the plane, I'm coming straight to church to do a pastoral prayer, and then to go to youth and meet with the team and then preach that night. So I'm getting all this stuff going. I'm getting all these things going in my head. I'm getting together. And then all of a sudden, she walks through. It was like nothing. She just keeps walking, and I walk through, and I get stopped. Bye. Like, she's just going to get on that plane. And then she turns around and realizes, wait a minute, my husband's not here. She turns around, and all of a sudden, I'm standing there, and they're going all over my body. They're doing the scans. You know, nothing's there. I'm like, I ain't got nothing, man. Like, I'm good. I got to go. I don't want to miss my flight. The next one's not till later, and I'll miss my service tonight, and I don't want to be stuck here. And the guy comes and says, sir, I need to speak to you, and brings me over to the security counter. I thought, hold up. What's in my bag? Like, I can't have an iPad. I can't have my MacBook. Like, I can't have my Bible, the things that I use to work on my message. Like, I can't have these things. Like, what's going on? And the guy pulls me aside, and he says, is there a reason why you have this knife in your bag? I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot. I had a knife in my backpack. And as I went through, the scanners picked it up. And I looked at the guy and said, listen, man, I promise that there is no reason why. I totally forgot. He goes, why do you have that? And why are you getting on the plane? I said, do you know where I live? I live in the Dino. And the brother said, oh, you live in San Bernardino? Yeah, I would carry a knife too. He said, so here's what I got to do for you, man. He goes, it's really nice. I'm like, you know you're going to pocket that. Like, you know you're not going to put it away. No, I'm just kidding. But he takes it, and he goes, I got to take it from you, then you can go get on the plane. Here's my point. They checked my bags. I wasn't going to be able to get on the plane unless somebody checked my bag. Can I be honest with you? We need to check our thoughts. What Paul's saying in this verse is this. I want you to get this. Paul is saying, don't let every thought pass through unchecked. Because thoughts will be flying at you on a regular basis. Come on, somebody. You have a thought right now. Some of you are thinking about where you're going to go eat after church. Some of you are thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow. Some of you are thinking about how you're going to pay the bills. Some of you are thinking about, well, this guy will hurry up and preach and do the altar call so I can go home and watch my show. We have thoughts flying at us all the time. And that's where the Word of God says, don't go without checking your thoughts. So what are some of the thoughts that you probably can confront tonight? Some of you need to confront this. I'll never change. Come on. Some of you need to confront this thought. God can't use me. Or how about this one? The fear of always allowing your mind to control you. Or how about this one? Some of you have the thought of, my marriage will never work. I'll never get healed. I mean, I pray for other people's healing and they get healed. Pastor, how come I never get healed? I don't know. Ask God. We need to confront those thoughts with God's truth and start speaking real declarations over those thoughts that are God's word. Here's a big question for you tonight. Here, write this down. So why you let a lie walk into your mind? If you were at home after service tonight, let me just throw this out there real quick. If you were at home after service tonight, and you were just, you know, having dinner and enjoying your TV show that you watch, and all of a sudden someone came up to your door. Now, some of you got Ring, some of you got other security things and high-level cameras and stuff, but someone comes up to your door and they have a weapon. Are you going to open the door and be like, welcome to my house? No, right? Some of you in this room, I'm not going to say nothing, but some of you might be loading up your own gun coming downstairs like, what? You want to come to my house? They hear the ch-ch and they run, right? Y'all know who I'm talking about. You get it. But why would you open the door and say, yeah, welcome, come on in. It's all good. Have whatever you want. You would not do that. So why do we let the enemy walk into our mind with the lies that he speaks to you? If I'm not going to open the door for somebody I don't know, I definitely don't want to let a lie in from the enemy. See, if you come to my house and knock on my door, I'm going to see you before you come up, and it'll say, you are being recorded. You'll know right away, and I'll get a notification. I'll be able to see who it is. If I know who you are, I'm going to welcome you in. In other words, this: if the thought that I know is God's thought, I'm going to welcome it in. But if I don't know that thought, and that thought's coming from the enemy, like that person from the door that I don't know, I'm not going to open my door and be like, yeah, welcome in. No, I am not going to do that, and you shouldn't do that either. So stop letting the enemy walk lies into your mind. Tonight, let's break those things off. Let's rewrite that narrative tonight. Let's allow God to rewrite the stories and rewrite the narrative in our life tonight. How about this? From broken to beautiful. Come on, somebody. From rejected to redeemed. Come on. How about God takes what was meant for evil and flips it into something good? Just like the word says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 20. It says, you intended to harm me, but God intended all for what? Good. Just like Isaiah 43:19 says, for I am about to do something what? New. God, listen, write this down. God doesn't just turn the page. He rewrites the plot. God doesn't just turn the page in your story. What he wants to do is rewrite the plot. But in order for God to rewrite the plot and story of your life, you got to change the way you think about yourself. So what script is God calling you to flip tonight? Your past doesn't define you. Come on, somebody. Your thoughts don't have control over you. You might allow your thoughts to control you, but with God working in them, listen, they don't have control. Jesus has control. And when you lean on Jesus, let me tell you what's going to happen. When you lean on Jesus, he's going to control those thoughts as long as you walk and believe the thoughts that he says. Yeah, good. The truth can set you free if you replace it, the lie. In other words, with this, you want to live a free life, then replace the lies. Listen, there's other ways you could live a free life, but, you know, giving your heart and life to Jesus, Jesus can help you, forgive you for your sins, you can become a new creation in Christ, and then you could be in this place and area of your life. And we have an actual ministry here who can help you, has a whole lesson on breaking mental strongholds. In other words, a whole lesson that I got to touch a little base on, that spends a whole night on it, and with accountability and everything else, it's called Breaking Free. So next time they have it, here's what I want to suggest. If you're in this room tonight and you're saying, you know what, I battle with this stuff, and it has many other things as well that's great for you, but because I'm specifically talking about the mind tonight, you can get free in your mind. There was a time in my life where I was the most negative person ever. My wife just said, yes. It's not an amen, it's yes, you were negative, babe. But this, can I be honest with you? I couldn't even take a compliment. Because I had such a negative thought pattern about my life. I had a negative thought pattern about who I was, a negative thought pattern that I didn't know enough, a negative thought pattern that I can never get out of this rut, a negative thought pattern that I can never change. I had this negative thought that kept me bound over and over and over, and it wasn't until a friend came to me and said, I can't even compliment you because you're so negative about everything. And it woke me up. And I had to change the way I thought about who I was and about what God wanted to do. Tonight, as I close with this, if I can get the worship team up here, I want to do something different tonight. But I believe God has a breaking anointing here tonight. And if God could take me out of a negative thought pattern, and if God could take me out of the things that I was in my life and in my mind, then God can do the same for you. He loves you enough to say, I could do this. But can we come into a place and say, God, I believe that you could break this off of me tonight. I believe you could free my mind. I believe you can get rid of these things that I'm facing. I believe you could do this, God. Can we get to that place? And so tonight, what I want to do is something a little different. Is first, I want to check to make sure each and every one of you are okay with God in this place. Because what I want to do next is completely different. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, good luck. Pastor, what do you mean by relationship with Jesus? Here's what I mean. You surrender your whole heart, your whole life to Jesus tonight. You come into a place to say these things. It's not about my will, but God, it's your will be done in my life. And I know some of you in this room tonight are probably thinking to yourself, I've given my heart to Jesus, I've given my life to Jesus, or you might even be thinking to yourself, you know what, one day I hope I can make it to heaven, or I think I can make it there. Listen, I got to be honest with you, if you cannot hope your way and you cannot think your way, it has to be, I give my heart and my life to Jesus. You have to surrender your whole life, your whole heart. Maybe you're in this room tonight, and if you got up in your chair and walked out these doors, and now is not the time to walk around, now is not the time to leave, respectfully asking you to be in your seat and stay in your seat so God could speak to these people's hearts and maybe even yours. But maybe if you're in your life and you got up out of your chair tonight and you walked out these doors and all of a sudden you left and we don't want this, we don't wish this, but we know life can happen, right? And all of a sudden you get in a bad car accident and bam, you're hit and you died instantly. Would you make it to heaven or would you make it to hell? Ask yourself that question. You're saying to yourself, well, Pastor, I'm a good person. I know I'm going to go to heaven. Listen, nowhere in the Word of God does it say because you're good, you're going to go to heaven. Nowhere in this Bible does it say because you're good. You might say to yourself, well, Pastor, I go to church on Sundays. I go to church on Wednesdays. Shoot, I even go on Sunday night. Great, I'm glad you go to church. I want you to continue to come into church, but nowhere in the Word of God does it say because you go to church. Nowhere in this Word does it say you're going to go to heaven. Nowhere does it say it. Well, Pastor, somebody told me in my family that, you know, because they're born again and they're on fire for God, that, you know, all of a sudden we get to be on. No, it don't work like that. I remember as a pastor sitting down with all three of my boys at one time saying, listen, you won't go to heaven just because mom and dad have made a decision. You're old enough to make your own decision whether you want to serve Christ or whether you don't want to. And thank God all three of my boys serve Jesus today. They're all in ministry, all doing good things. So here's my question to you tonight is this. All over this room, if tonight was your last night here on earth, and you walked out of this room, and you got in a car accident, or if you walked out of this room and ended up in a hospital, and it was your last night, would you make it to heaven, or would you make it end up in hell for eternity? Think about it for a moment. Ask yourself this question. Examine your heart and ask yourself this question. Where would you be? Let me frame it for you two ways. My first picture, I'm going to frame it like this. You came to church tonight, got into worship, God spoke to you, heard the message, God began to stir you up, began to put a fire in you, I'm going to change my mind, the way I think, God began to do something, but you walked out of here not surrendering and giving your heart and life to Jesus, and you end up dying. I got to tell you the truth, you won't make it to heaven. You won't. But let me frame it this way. You came to church tonight, heard the word of God, got into the worship. God was showing up. You were listening. And all of a sudden, this loudmouth preacher came up here and said, I'm going to count to three. Go one, two, three. Bang like this. And when I hit my hand like this, bang. If you want to give your heart and life to Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. And all of a sudden, you raise your hand. And you left tonight and you died. You'd hear these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven forever. So it's your choice tonight. You could live in frame one, or you can be in frame two, but it's your choice. No one's going to force you to do this. No one can make you do this, but tonight it's up to you. So here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three. And when I go one, two, three, I'm going to go one, two, three like this. Bang, just like that. When you hear me go bang like that, if you're in this room tonight, you've never given your life and your heart to Jesus, tonight I'm going to ask you to be bold enough to pop your hand up right where you're at. I'm going to make it real simple for you tonight. I'm going to have you pray in your seats tonight, but then after service, I'm going to give you some instructions on what you need to do. But if that's you tonight and you're serious about this, all I want you to do is slip your hand up. You might be saying to yourself, Pastor, if I do, I'm going to be embarrassed. Listen, I won't embarrass you. And can we talk about it for a moment? Even if you were, would you rather be embarrassed for less than half of a second or be in hell for eternity forever? Tonight is your choice. The Bible says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. What is confession? A pop of a hand. I'm a man. There's others in here. But the next part says, if you deny me, then I'll deny you. What is deny? I don't need no Jesus. I can get him later. What? You got a certain day and time that he's coming to get you? We don't have that. Bible says our life is like a vapor. We're here one moment, we're gone the next. Come on. But tonight you can make the right decision. Tonight you can make the right choice. So who should do this tonight if you're running from God instead of to God? Who else should do this if you've never given your life to Jesus? Who else should do this if you're lukewarm? Pastor, what is lukewarm? A little in, a little out. A little token prayer here and there. In other words, you weren't fully full-hearted, sold out for the things of God. Bible says it like this, when I come back. It doesn't say if I come back. It says when I come back. That means one day he's coming back. It says when I come back, I better find you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. In other words, you're not going to make it. So tonight it's your call. It's your choice. If you're in this room tonight, you're saying to yourself, Pastor, that's me. When I count to three, just pop your hand up. One, if you're running from God instead of to God, tonight is your night. Two, if you've never given Jesus your whole life, tonight is your night. Three, bang, anybody in this room, pop your hands up so I can see them. Thank you. One, two, three, four. Help me out here. Four wise people, is there any more? Help me out, ushers, if you see any. Four wise people in this room tonight. Any more? Just pop your hand up. You're pointing somewhere. Six, I got you. Five, six, seven, got you. Is there any more? Just pop your hand up. Are you guys popping your hand? Raise your hand so I can see it. I got you. Eight. Got you. Anyone else? Just pop your hand up. Don't think about it. Don't think about this. Be about it. Eight wise people. Is there any more? Just pop your hand up right where you're at. If there's any more, just pop your hand up. I got you. Nine. Help me out. Were you pointing somewhere back there? Ten. Got you. Any more? Ten wise people tonight. I got you. Ten wise people. Is there any more? Just pop your hand up right where you're at. I'll give you a few more moments and I'm going to shut this part down. Anyone else? Pop your hand up. Help me out, ushers, if you see a hand anywhere. Anyone in the family rooms? It's hard to see. Anyone in the 10 wise people? Is there any more? Don't talk to your neighbor and be like, should I do it? You should do it. If you're asking your neighbor, that means you need to do it. Is there any more? 10 wise people. Is that a hand right there? Was that a hand? I think I got you. Any more, just pop your hand up. Right where you're at. If there's any more, don't miss your opportunity tonight. Pastor, I hear this every week. Yep, you do, but what if this was the night that you don't get to hear it again? I got you, 11. Any more, just pop your hand up right all over this room. Any more. Someone's thinking about it, just do it. Don't think your way out of something good. You've tried enough in life. And God's saying, surrender your heart to me. So 11 wise people, is there any more tonight? Just pop your hand up right where you're at. Is there any more? Any more? All right, well, let's give God a praise for 11 wise people tonight. So we're going to say this prayer, and we're going to invite Jesus into our heart. Right after service, my friend over here is Pastor Joel. His team's going to be out there to hand out books in the back, because I want to do something a little different tonight. I talked about a breaking anointing, and I talked about strongholds, and I believe there's a lot of you in here tonight that need to break some strongholds off of your mind tonight. And so after I say this prayer, we're going to move into the next part. If I can get the worship team ready, Nakia, you're there. Good. Go ahead and repeat this prayer after me, because now we're going to invite Jesus into our heart. Father God, tonight I come to you, and I thank you for the opportunity that I have to give my heart to you. Jesus, forgive me for all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Tonight, I ask that you come into my life, that you change my heart, that you change my mind. Tonight, Jesus, I believe that you died and you rose again from the dead. Holy Spirit, empower me. Give me the strength to live my life the way you've called me to live it, and be the Christian that you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Come on, let's give God a praise for those 11 wise people. Right after service, my friend Pastor Joel and his team will be out there. Here's why we want them out there. We have a friend that we want to offer to you. Somebody who's going to come alongside of you and teach you basic things at the Word of God. And they're going to give you a book, and they're going to explain that to you. And also, if you come on Wednesdays, or you've been coming, or you need to start coming, if you're not, you're getting the discipleship message that is written in this book that we want to get into your hands. Don't forget, see somebody. If you gave your heart, all 11 of you tonight, connect with that friend out there. They want to get you connected. We want to get you connected as well. And here's what I want to say. You'll change after you connect with God's people. But that doesn't mean just have an SBT, a friend over there. That means you coming to church on a regular basis. There's so many services here you can come. That means this. Give us 1 year of your life, and this time next year, your life will be completely different. All right? All right, well, here's what we're going to do now is we're going to shift a little bit, and we're going to move into some worship for a moment. But I'm going to ask my pastors to come up front, that are the ones that are here tonight, and some of the prayer leaders. And if you're in this room tonight, as I was talking about your mind and breaking some things off of it, we want to pray for you tonight and break these mental strongholds off of your life. So if that's you tonight, and you're saying to yourself, you know what, Pastor, I came in here, my mind is everywhere, I need this broken tonight, I'm going to ask you to take a bold step. As the pastors are coming forward right now, I'm going to ask you, as the worship team is singing right now, I'm going to ask you to come forward and allow our pastors to pray for you tonight. So if that's you tonight, you need to break that off of your mind. Come up out of your seat, come forward. They're going to pray real quick for you. They're going to say, break it in the name of Jesus, and they're going to break it right off of you. So if that's you tonight, and you're in this place, don't hold yourself back from God doing something great. If that's you tonight, come on forward.
Strongholds bowing to the Savior, resurrection power over every circumstance. His word stands final and forever. It will not be shaken. Power over every circumstance. be shaken. He'll love is when it all is done. It is finished. Christ has won. He is risen. Christ is here.
Hey, do this for me. Go ahead and stand to your feet. I'm going to pronounce a blessing over you. Remember, all 11 of you tonight that said you wanted to give your heart and your life to Jesus, right outside these doors, I'm going to have some friends out there. They're going to have a book. They're going to put it right into your hand. For the rest of you, I'm going to go ahead and pronounce a blessing over you. Father, I thank you for all the saints of God. Bless them coming and bless them going, God. And everything, God, they put their hands to. Lord, let it prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout, we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved. Love you guys. Bless you guys. Have a good evening.
What a
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.